Who is someone that you are proud of today? And why is it that you feel this way about this person? Yeah, maybe it's one of your children. Maybe it's your spouse for whatever reason. Maybe your spouse got a raise. Maybe your children have accomplished some feat that you knew that they were struggling with. But when that takes place and you see them have victory along the way, it really makes you feel good. It makes you feel proud of them. I hope and pray that there have been times that in those folks' lives that you've been able to look and say, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm proud of you for accomplishing this or being able to reach this pinnacle in your life. Now, as you think about that, why is it better to have pride in other people rather than in yourself? Now, before you get crazy thinking about that one, it's all right to have what's called a healthy pride in yourself. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But it's always better to have pride in other people than in yourself. And when I say that, I'm talking about that unhealthy type of a pride. So what is the difference between healthy pride and sinful pride? Now, I hope and pray that a lot like me this morning when you got up, you took a shower and you combed your hair and you brushed your teeth and you had enough pride in yourself to do that. And you wanted to make sure that the people around you were not offended by your appearance or your personal hygiene, whatever you may call that. So that's a healthy kind of pride, to take care of yourself in those ways. An unhealthy pride is when it starts to get to the point where it pushes you to think that you're better than other people, when it starts to dictate how and what you do. And they're generally things that are not of God. Pride is a big issue. Pride is what caused Satan to decide that he felt like he was equal to or better than God. Pride, as the word tells us, and as you'll see today, goeth before a fall. So as you consider those questions that I just asked you, grab your Bible, come on back in just a minute. We're going to be looking at the problem of pride out of the book of Proverbs chapter 16. See you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that your day is off and going well. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Proverbs chapter 16. And just a moment ago, I asked you the question about whether or not there was somebody in your life that you were proud of today as you think about it. One of the easy ones there most often is when you have children and you've seen them accomplish some great things that they've worked really, really hard on, or whether it's school, whether it's an athletic contest or whatever it may be. And you get that opportunity to say, hey, man, I'm just so proud of you. You encourage them along the way. And it is so good to have pride in other people, to encourage them in the things that they have done and that they have shown success in. And we mentioned a little bit earlier about the difference between a sinful pride and a healthy pride. Well, Proverbs chapter 16 addresses just that. So we're going to go look at our text. There's a lot of verses today. Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Proverbs 16, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Verse 4, "The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Pay careful attention to that. Let me go back to verse 5 again. "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his works. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of latter rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, we once again thank you and praise you for this opportunity to once again gather around your word. Lord, I pray that you will truly help us as we endeavor to look at your word today to see if there's any areas of unhealthy pride in our hearts or in our lives. Lord, help us to see whether we are pleasing you as we walk and as we go forward. And Lord, if we're not, I pray that conviction would be upon the hearts of the hearer today. Lord, that we may truly walk in step with you, and to do so in a humble spirit, in a humble way in which you can use us for your honor and for your glory. So Lord, we ask that you would bless the time that we spend around your word. Use this, your messenger, to lift you up today, Father, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you know, in today's text, you know, the writer is addressing the problem of sinful pride. Now, remember, I said it's okay to have that healthy pride, pride that says, you know, you're concerned about what you wear, you're concerned about how you look, not overly concerned, but I mean, obviously, you just don't want to completely let yourself go. That's just a great example of a healthy pride, taking pride in who you are. But an unhealthy pride is one that raises itself above the standards of other people. It's one of those that says, I'm better than you are. It's one that says, I can do this better than you. And most of you know what I'm talking about, you know, as I say that. But in verses 1 and 2 of our text, yet the writer says some things about the plans of a person's heart and the ways of a person's life. Look with me, if you would, at verses 1 and 2 of our text. It says, the preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You know, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Did you get that? That all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes? The way we look at it's not always the way that God looks at it. You know, when we look at it and we say, oh, this is what I want to do, then I feel that that's the right thing to do. But what is the reasoning? What is the heart? That is the key issue behind each and every situation and each and everything that is taking place and that's going on. What is the persona of the heart as you do these things? Why is it that you're doing these? And what this does is apply several things about sinful pride. You know, we've got to be careful that we don't allow sinful pride to creep into our lives and completely have us going in the opposite direction of what God would want us to. God never wants us to have an unhealthy pride. Remember what the word tells us, that pride goes before the fall. So we've got to be careful of that. Now, I want to tell you something about pride that's very, very interesting. Most people don't sit back and say, oh, I'm a prideful person. You know, most people don't sit back and look at that situation and say, oh, well, you know, I have a bunch of pride in my life and I'm just all completely messed up. Most don't do that. Most of the time, pride is one of those things that slips into your life that you are unaware of until it is pointed out by somebody that you know or that you love, or it's pointed out by the Holy Spirit as he convicts your heart. There's a lot of times that people would sit back at the beginning of a conversation and maybe say, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm a prideful person. But then, you know, after some careful conversation and some true, honest evaluation, they would sit back and say, you know what, there are some areas of my life that pride has crept into. And it's an unhealthy kind of a pride, not a good pride, but rather an unhealthy type of a pride. So I ask that you would listen to what the Holy Spirit would have to say to you today as we take these times and these moments to gather around the Word, and particularly as we look at what an unhealthy pride or sinful pride is like. Now, instead of working for your own glory, you know, what good thing does the writer say will happen when you commit your work to the Lord? Now, consider that for a minute. Instead of working for your own glory, what's best for me? What's suited for me? What elevates me? Instead of doing that, there are some good things that the writer says will happen when you commit your work to the Lord. We see those actually in verse 3. Verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. In other words, your thinking will be right. It will be in the right way. It will be with the right heart. It will be with the right spirit. Now, when we talk about committing our ways and our work to the Lord, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean to commit your work to the Lord? And how is this a mark of humility? Well, it's a mark of humility because when we commit our work and our ways to the Lord, then that means that we want to do things the way God wants us to do them, that we want to do things the way He has prescribed them. You see, one of the other big things that creates pride is the selfishness of man. See, we want things our way. Now, if you say you don't, then you better repent, because all of us find ourselves in that situation. We want it done our way. We like it this way. This is the way we want to go. This is what we want to do. And when we tip our hat to those selfish wants and needs as compared to what God would have for us to do, then we can find ourselves getting in an area of pride. I've often said to folks before, and you've heard me mention this even in our Bible studies, and most often this is dealing with forgiveness of sin. And I'll ask somebody, I'll say, well, do you believe that God forgives sin? And they say, oh yeah, emphatically, yes, I believe that God forgives sin. And my thing is, have you taken the sin that is weighing you down, and have you carried it to the Lord? Have you repented of it, and have you asked God to forgive you? And yeah, 99% of the time they'll say, yes, I've done that. And then I'll say, then why are you having such a hard time forgiving yourself? And they're like, well, I believe, you know, God forgave me, but I'm having a hard time with me. And they don't like it when I say this next thing, but usually I'll tell them, I say, well, that's one of the most arrogant things you could ever say in your life. And they give me that sideways look and say, what are you talking about? And I'll say, well, you're saying that you know God can and has forgiven you, but you can't forgive yourself. Then you're saying that you have a higher standard than that of God. And I said, that's the height of arrogance. See, that's one of those areas where pride might slip into your life that you may not see it or understand it or know it. But maybe through going through the Word today that the Lord is pinpointing those things. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working on those things in your heart and in your life today. Don't have that attitude of arrogance whatsoever. Now, when we commit our work and we commit our ways to the Lord, means we want to do it the way He has prescribed in His Word for us to do things, to speak in this manner, to walk in this manner, to talk in this manner. And what that shows is that shows a large mark of humility. It shows spiritual maturity. But when a person is following the Lord's ways, you're saying, I prefer the Lord's way over my way. So I want to do it His way. Even if you may not want to, even if you may say, I would prefer to do it my way, and you do it the Lord's way, that is a mark of spiritual maturity, and it also is a great, great mark of humility, because humility is the exact opposite of pride. That's a pretty easy one. You know, when you sit back, most of us can think about what pride is, then you know humility is the complete opposite of it. When somebody were to look at your life, do they look at you as a prideful person, or do they look at you as a person that is humble in spirit? Okay. Now, as we continue on with our text, you know, the writer also says some things about, you know, those who are arrogant and those who are proud of heart. Verse 5 tells us this. It says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Okay. Now that is some good spiritual speak. You know, you're sitting there going, abomination. That sounds like a big time Christian word or whatever. But, sometimes people say, well, what does that mean? What does abomination mean? So I wanted to give you a textbook definition of abomination. If you look that up or if you Google it, what you're going to find is that the definition of abomination is this: a thing that causes disgust or hatred. You know, when somebody says that's an abomination to the Lord, that means that it is something that causes disgust or hatred towards that. So let's go back to that verse a minute. What does it say? It says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That means that you're disgusting in His sight or in His presence when that's the way you roll with things. You know, how is it that your life is when it comes down to those things? Do people look at you as a prideful person? Or do people look at you and say, you're one of those arrogant people? Well, we know that how the Lord looks at it. It says that if He looks at it in a circumstance or situation, it says that a proud person is an abomination or disgusting in the presence of the Lord. Now, when a person is overcome by sinful pride, you know, how can a person regain favor with God and with others? Now, you need to understand something. You don't work your way into favor with God. Or let me rephrase it. You don't work your way into salvation. But there are times that through our sin in our lives that we can cut off fellowship with God. We're the ones that do that. We cut off fellowship with Him by our sinful ways. So how is it that you can return home? I've always loved the passage in the Bible of the prodigal son. And part of the reason why is because not only did it tell about the prodigal son, but it also told about how he came home, how you can come home, how if you are that prodigal son in regard to your spiritual life, you can return. If that's you today, if you're a prideful person today, if you are a wayward person today, a backslidden Christian, the Lord is calling you back home to Him. He's calling you right now, and He will wait with open arms. In fact, not only will He wait, He will meet you as you begin your return to Him. So the question was, when one is overcome by sinful pride, how can you regain or come back into favor with God as well as other people? Verses 6 and 7 of our text tell us that. They say this, it says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Did you get that? It says that in mercy, first of all, you'll see God's mercy, but there has to be truth. You have to be honest with yourself. There's that old expression that says, to thine own self be true. Folks, if you can't be true with who you are, about where you are, particularly in regard to your spiritual walk, if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. You know, maybe today you're sitting there saying, you know, I'm a mess. My walk is not good. That's the first step in being able to come back to the Lord, is to understand where you are. And if you're a mess, you know that. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. But He says this, atonement is provided for the iniquity. God's atonement is there for you. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Now, that's not a fear such as in I am afraid or scared of something. This is a fear meaning a reverence. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, you know, respecting and honoring and reverencing Him should make you want to depart from evil. You know, fear the Lord. The word says fear the Lord and depart from evil, because you don't want to, you don't want to have the wrath of God come down on you for it. Okay. Now, when a person is overcome by sinful pride, you know, how do you regain that? You simply go to Him. It says in verses 6 and 7 that atonement is provided for the iniquity. You just have to go to God and say, Lord, you know what? I know I'm a mess. I know that I have messed up. I need you to surround me with every ounce of who you are. Forgive my sins. And then you need to understand and believe that God's forgiven you. If God's forgiven you, then you are required to forgive yourself. Okay? Don't let Satan hold you captive over old sin that God has already forgiven you of as you've repented and taken it to Him. You see, you know, the other thing too is for you and I, it's foolish for us to make plans without God, you know, without seeking Him and without seeking His guidance. Verse 9 of our text tells us that a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, you might think the Lord may lead you, you may seek Him and trust Him, but the Lord is the one who is going to bring about the steps to get you where He wants you to be. Now, I want to give you another scripture text, and as I do, I want you to think about, you know, how this verse is a warning against sinful pride. Now, Proverbs 16:25 tells us this. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Did you get that? There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Now, as you consider that, how is this verse a warning against sinful pride? Well, look at the ways that you go. You know, in what ways do these verses confront us with an attitude to change? Remember, one of the things that I've always said to you is, as we do our Bible studies, we need to look for an attitude to change. If there's something in there that the Holy Spirit has put or placed in our heart or in our life, then that's an attitude that we need to change. Has God put something on your heart about that? As we have been looking at His Word and looking at this particular passage of Scripture, you know, remember what we said about an abomination? It's things that are disgusting in the sight of the Father. So why is it a great abomination for earthly rulers and authorities to lead with pride and to do evil? Verse 12 tells us that. Verse 12 says, it is an abomination. There's that word again. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. So leaders, if you're out there and you're a leader, you need to lead with all humility as the Lord leads you. Do not allow pride to get in there and let pride lead in those steps, because that's just going to send you on a path to destruction. Now, there's also another passage that I want to highlight for you. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. And as I read this passage to you, think about it. According to these verses, you know, what is the difference between a prideful and a humble leader? So Proverbs 14, 34 tells us this. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Did you get that? Let me go back one more time. Righteousness, and that's what we're talking, we're talking about being righteous in the presence of God, not being prideful, being a humble person. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Okay, so, you know, when we look at that, when you talk about leaders and you talk about leadership, you need to be leading from the perspective of a humble spirit as the Lord leads you in His Word, as we go about His work and as we do things His way. You know, how do we see these type principles fleshed out in the world today? You know, some of you may have some leaders in your life that you love, you admire, you trust, because they're very humble people. They're not prideful. I mean, they have a healthy pride, of course, but when it comes down to a circumstance or a situation, as they're leading, they do so in a way that's beneficial for everyone. You know, this is not always the easiest thing to do when people find themselves in a leadership position. Sometimes pride just says, hey, I want to do it my way. I want to put my mark. I want to put my stamp on this. And God doesn't have anything whatsoever to do with it. Well, folks, I'm telling you, that's a situation that is inevitably going to create a fall. Okay. So what are the consequences? You know, like I said, for every action, there are equal and opposite reactions. That's a theory of relativity, I guess. But, you know, when we look at it, there's consequences for all that we do. So what are the consequences of living with sinful pride and a haughty spirit. Well, verse 18 tells us, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction. Now, I can't highlight that anymore. So if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You've heard that. Your grandma probably said that to you. Pride goeth before the fall, depending on what translation you're reading. But that's exactly what that means. So what do you like in your life? Is your life, is pride leading your life? Are there some areas in your life that really need some humility to be brought into? You know, I'm sure that there's probably some clear biblical examples that you can think of people who have allowed pride to get out there before them and allowed pride to bring them down. When you think about Israel, pride was a big issue in Israel's repeated disobedience to the Father. So I want to do it my way. And inevitably what would happen is God would have to get their attention. Then there would be the time of punishment. Then there would be a time of repentance. There would be restoration. And it was just this vicious, vicious cycle. So there are just so many examples in the Word of God where pride has created a fall in not only some biblical characters, but also situations. You know, yeah, I often think about Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. Well, most of us know the story of Jonah and the big fish, and Jonah couldn't stand the Ninevites. He just flat out hated them, and he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to be any part of God showing grace upon the Ninevites, and yet God still put him in that circumstance, put him in that situation. God still used him despite how he wanted to be used. And not only did the folks of Nineveh repent, it says the whole town repented. Even Jonah, you know, said, "Lord, I knew you were going to do that. That's part of the reason I wanted to go the opposite direction, because I knew that if I did what you said, that you would show up. And I knew that you would save these people, and I just flat out don't like these people." You know, boy, that's not a good spirit to have. But Jonah had some pride in his life. There's character after character after character where we could see pride created issues in their life. You know, now my question is, how have you seen this truth lived out in your own life? Yeah, have you ever seen a time when pride created issues for you? Maybe somebody was wise enough in your life and loved you enough to point it out. And maybe you took the time to listen and you heard them and you said, "Oh no, yeah, there really is pride in this area of my life. And this is something I need to turn over to the Lord. This is something that needs to be worked on." I hope and pray that you have, because pride will sneak in areas of your life before you even know it. You may not even see it. And then boom, you're caught up in the situations and in the circumstances of pride. God doesn't want that. We know pride goes before a fall. Yeah, do you think that when other people look at you, do you think that they see you as more of a humble spirit? Or do you think that they see you as an arrogant and prideful spirit? Now, however you answered that question, there was a reason that you answered that question. Maybe you were honest with yourself and you said, "Yeah, I think some people would probably see me as an arrogant, proud type spirit, and maybe it's because of my disposition with them, or how I've led, or the way I've manipulated things." If that's you, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit's giving you a wake up call today. Maybe you were able to say, "I think people would see me as a humble spirit. I think that when people see me, they see me as that way." Then maybe the good Lord gave you an attaboy today, if that's you. But you got to be careful, because there are many, many areas in your life where pride can creep in. So I'm asking today, is there any prideful way in you that you need to confess? Has the Holy Spirit pointed out to you that, yes, there's pride in this area, and this is something that you need to carry and confess before God, that you need to repent of, that you may be restored to fellowship with Him, that area of your life may be surrendered to Him, and He may use you in it in a mighty and a powerful way? I pray that if it is, then you will, even as we speak, that you will lift that before the Lord, and that you will say, Lord, I'm repenting. And remember, that means going the other direction. I'm repenting of this. And Father, I'm giving it to you. I need help on a daily basis with this. But Lord, help me to be that humble spirit in the midst of all the people that I interact with, and particularly in certain areas. Folks, most people don't have pride in every area of their life. Most people, if they have an issue with pride, it's usually in one or two little areas. And sometimes it's really hard to see. Maybe there's some godly people in your life that you can sit down that will point these things out to you. I hope there are. So what we need to do this week and always is we need to pray that we will walk with a humble spirit before God as well as others, that others may see Him. Now, before we do, before we close in prayer, I want to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 19 through Proverbs chapter 21. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 19 through Proverbs chapter 21. And next week, we're going to discuss walking with integrity. Nice big word there, walking with integrity, from the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you, Lord, I just pray that you will help us to see if there's any areas of our life, Father, where pride, unhealthy pride, is flourishing. If there are, then Lord, I pray that you will point them out to us, that we may repent and that we may come back into favor with you in that particular area. Lord, may those around us see an humble spirit as we walk in your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, may we be used as vessels in your hands in people's lives. But Father, you can't do that with a prideful vessel that says, I have to have it my way. So, Lord, I just pray that you will convict our hearts. And for those that you've already convicted, I pray, Father, that as they run to you, you will just give them the peace that passes all understanding, that your love and grace will abound in their hearts and lives, and that they're forgiven. Help them to forgive themselves as you forgive them. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in the area, we would love for you to come visit with us and worship with us on Sundays. We have our worship services begin at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, right across the street from the Military Academy. Throughout this broadcast, you've had an opportunity to see our website. That'll give you any other information that you may need. And as always, if there's questions we can answer, please feel free to contact us. We look forward to seeing you Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.